Hi everyone, this is Tech and Ed Tech, brought to you by Magic Ed Tech, where we discuss technology that powers education and improves learning for all. Welcome to our second episode, Using Technology to Create an Engaging Learning Experience. I'm your host, Dan Gizzi, Vice President of Sales for Global Accounts at Magic Ed Tech, and today we have with us Mike Rodbell, Vice President of Technology from Explore Learning. Mike, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So I understand. So you've been with Explore Learning now several years, but you have a very interesting background that's taken you through multiple different industries and areas. And I'd love to hear just a little bit about that and how you ended up in ed tech.
Sure. Happy to do so. So yeah, the journey started in computer software and psychology in undergrad. Worked for the first 7 years or so doing embedded systems and a variety of different industries. Decided that I enjoyed working with people as much as technology. Moved into consulting, worked for a large government consulting firm, Booz Allen, for about 6 years. Doing embedded systems and secure communications, largely for the Defense Department. And as I was going into that, we had some events in our family that our oldest turns out had some needs for to address his learning disabilities, and that cost some money. So I went off on my own consulting, doing my own business, but I had learned a lot through the consulting business, and largely ended up gravitating towards the needs of companies that were building communication systems. So I got to learn a lot. Eventually teamed up with a large fiber optic company called Ciena Company Corporation. We made fiber optic multiplexers, went from there into a number of other ventures after I left there in the early 2000s. Did some time with online advertising, enterprise software, and this opportunity showed up around 2013, 2014. Fascinated by the opportunity to meld a lot of the technologies I'd worked with in the past and also use it in the application of helping students learn and grow, much like the experience we had as parents. So it's exciting time. It's great to be here, and thank you.
Absolutely. That's a great journey. I obviously have a vested interest in the name of your product here, Gizmos, with my last name being Gizzi. So this has definitely been more than once. I've seen this come up in my life. I'd love to hear a little bit about that, you know, what the kind of work you're doing for STEM and, you know, what the company is all about and the mission, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. Kind of our general mission statement is we believe all students can succeed. Our focus is in math and science, and it's also important to us that they're having fun doing it. We believe that's kind of a key facet in terms of a good learning experience. You want kids engaged. You want them challenged, you want them learning and with a smile on their face. We've got several award-winning products, Gizmos, Reflex, and hopefully Frac soon. We just launched that. Our experiences are engaging. We have interactive simulations, games, and a range of learning tools that help students master skills and develop deep conceptual understanding of the topic.
That's great. You know, some of the things, obviously, as we've learned in the last year or so with education, is that we had to change on a dime. And would love to just understand, you know, what are some of the things and areas that as a company that you were able to take advantage of or, you know, potentially assist in the learning of when that happened?
With the pandemic, that I assume that's the context of the question?
Yes.
Yeah, it was
in the pandemic, yes, in the context of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were doing well ahead of that, so it's
very hard to talk about it without saying it, right?
Yeah. No, the company has been doing well even leading up to that, where you know, certainly there's a lot of attention and interest in growth. When it first hit, if you go back about March of 2020. Yeah, everybody was in a state of, oh my gosh, what's this mean? Everybody's gone home. You know, what's going to happen? So there's kind of this brief pause of, oh my gosh, let's be careful and not get ahead of our headlights. And then what we were starting to find as the year wore on, even if you looked around this time last year, that the fact that everybody was remote really drove a lot of interest and demands for our products, which are all delivered online. With a caveat that we've built these products believing strongly that the teacher involvement is important. So, you know, we don't want kids just getting, here, Johnny, just go plug into this machine and learn. We want the teachers involved. What we found is that in particular our Gizmos product, which is built, you know, really a series of simulations and case studies that are meant to drive conversation, but also provide a nice surrogate for things that would be impractical to put in a lab. The demand for those just spiked something significantly, which gave us an opportunity to do more with them, continue to add content, to look, invest in features that will help greater. What we've also seen is a growing demand for integration services with the district's information systems for things like rostering and authentication. So the interest and need in the product is growing. We've been fortunate that that's had a positive impact on our business, which has also led to, from the tech side, pretty busy year of just making sure that we're keeping customers satisfied. It's generally a very, very nice industry to be in. As I kind of mentioned earlier, I've been in a lot of other industries. I've found that there's really kind of a unifying goal that seems to drive everybody we work with, whether they're within the company or customers, teachers, directors, where it tends to be much more of a collaborative engagement, even when they're challenged. So it's fun. It's a nice industry to be in, and even amidst all the headaches and challenges of the last year, I would count us as a business as fortunate. Certainly, there have been personal things that have impacted all of us. It's I think as we're noting a little bit earlier, it feels a little bit liberating for those of us that are now able to get their families fully vaccinated and not feel like they have to stay removed from one another. Certainly, the isolation is something that I think we all need to attend to and make sure that we're understanding how much people are social creatures, and that's a need and a really good thing. And hope the progress continues as it has.
Well, that's great to hear. I think, one of the interesting things we've seen as the world had to shift to remote so quickly was that loss of that interaction and that human element that, makes learning fun. And, I think what stands out to me when I look at some of the areas with Gizmos and what you guys are doing is how you focus on the play aspect of learning. It's so key for that age group, the K-12, especially, to understand that, we're not just learning general concepts here, but there's a reason why and applying those to life. Have you found that, there was some acceptance to that? Obviously digital transformation in education has always been a very hard talking point. Did you see any kind of shift in that, because of the way your products were developed? For the positive or even, necessarily being able to overcome some challenges that you may have, encountered prior?
Well, I can only express that in terms of feedback. We've got a couple of parts of our product line that meet that, not just within Gizmos. Certainly within Gizmos, when you talk about engagement, there's a variety of models that we handle, one of which is through the traditional Gizmos and simulations and sort of learning through inquiry, where it's that conversation with the teacher, posing up more open-ended questions and getting the kids to think actively. We've also, over the last couple of years, introduced a line of really simulation, not just simulations, but interactive tools called STEM cases that came through a company we acquired named Cogent Education. And with those, what we're doing is putting the students in the position of a STEM investigator. They'll trying to understand what may have happened and walking them through those steps and giving them that experience. Now, Gizmos, largely, we've been successful in the upper grades of elementary school on up. Our products that speak to the younger kids, we've got a product called Science for Us that is intended to kind of introduce science and literacy concepts to students in K-2. Reflex Math adds kind of the game and fun element to help students learn the basic math facts, which is certainly a key foundation of their future success in math. And you know, certainly a lot of life skills. We've earlier this year introduced our Frax Math product that's got a similar sort of gist as Reflex, although some interesting twists with that, where it's more of a curricular progression where you've got to make sure that the students are learning things in sequence and building a foundation of knowledge that can move them forward. So you have to hit it in a lot of different directions. What we are seeing is the feedback on all fronts has been positive with the learning through inquiry. We certainly continue to encourage teachers to stay involved. In a lot of cases, they're doing things similar to what you and I are doing now, where they might be online with the students. They could do exercises offline, not offline, but separated from one another. Mm-hmm. But that, again, those conversations and just helping kids embrace thinking and acquiring is really key. So a lot of stuff going on. Certainly one of the things that was a little bit of a scramble for us that we were fortunately able to handle is along with the uptick in business, the traffic that our systems were seeing had a fairly profound uptick hit roughly last August, September. And we were fortunate to have been well prepared to be able to deal with that. So that was kind of, when you look at all the stuff I talked about before that relates to students and remote classroom and all that, kind of tying back into the tech challenges, that was certainly one that led to a few head-scratching moments that we were very fortunate to be able to see through.
Now, that's very interesting that you bring that up, because that always seems to be one of the areas that companies tend to forget about in a planning situation is the systems and upkeep. You know, it's great that the interactives are built, and it's great that, you know, that all of the data and analytics is being provided, but there's got to be something on the back end that can handle that. Would you mind expanding a little bit on that, on just the impact on your own systems alone that you may have seen during, you know, the immediate changeover? You know, how was that? You know, how quickly did you have to pivot? What were some of the steps you guys took?
Right. Fortunately, we've been pretty good about continuing to invest in new equipment. We're able to look year over year, so you can generally plot a fairly linear path. The problem is just like you got a hockey stick going up. Mm-hmm. What we're fortunate is the nature of these applications, at least on the server side, is that they're less CPU intensive than they are memory intensive. So in our case, we're able to just buy a good bit more memory and put them in the same servers, which is a fairly straightforward thing for us to do when you start looking at provisioning new systems that that can get to be a little bit more of a challenge with gizmos. We do have some initiatives to leverage a lot of more modern technologies, and we're moving into new architectures, which has been an investment we've been working on for a number of years. The Gizmo's product is very solid as it stands now, although it's a little bit aged, and it's something that is well suited for the environment it's in, although it lives right now as a separate product. What we're working towards is migrating that with our Reflex and Frax and Science for Us products into a common framework that will allow us to leverage more modern technologies through cloud services, not just cloud delivery, but also things like containerization, using things like Kubernetes to be able to have a much more elastic computing architecture that will allow us to scale as needed and also scale down, because there's times we think we're getting into one of those that, you know, as kids finish school and go off for the summer, that typically our traffic will drop a little bit. This year, each year is a little bit different. It's interesting. I was talking to the gentleman that runs our STEMcase R&D team. I've been looking at the traffic and trying to look at year over year, and it's kind of like we don't really have a model per se. So, you know, last year was a huge anomaly where there was this kind of major kind of disruption that had effectively a step function into society that also drove our business, where all of a sudden there were needs for kids to continue in the summer. It's not as clear this year. It feels like it may mute, but it's not like the kind of thing where in the past we could look at prior years and there's a fairly heavy seasonality that I suspect is still kind of at the core of what we're looking at, although it's likely that is going to be somewhat altered by just general events and what's going on in society.
Yeah, it's amazing how scale is never something anybody has to think about until it's almost too late. And thankfully, it was glad to hear that the planning was there. And you know, the future of what is coming is going to make it easier for you guys to think about what that scale could be if there's ever, you know, that giant shift back. You know, hopefully, if nothing else, this is areas that'll find their way back into the classroom in the fall with whatever the fall looks like around the country and around the world.
Right. We've been pretty good about it. And I'm pretty pleased with how I've looked at it. I've been in other industries. One of the ones I mentioned was in the online advertising business. You would get the scale problems there were even more profound, where you get a spike right around. It would start shortly before Thanksgiving and run just after New Year's. And that would account, you'd get about 60% of your business in a month. So this one,
right,
it's a little bit flatter, but yeah, every business, ed tech not being unique, has their own kind of patterns and trends, particularly when you're looking at a macro scale. Probably in our case, while we do have some international business, the bulk of it's domestic US, who generally follow fairly consistent trend.
As we start to get into the future of ed tech, now that we've seen a direction and understood that not every home in America needed to have a wet lab, but there's actually ways to do these things more effectively. You know, what are some of the areas as a company that you're looking at that you would say would be, say maybe some assistance in the classroom or from a professional development standpoint that you think you're going to be planning on offering?
We tend to go on a fairly incremental as opposed to disruptive path. And certainly, I've worked in a number of industries, so I'm not sure I'm going to give you all that enlightening an answer to it. In a lot of cases, it's built on a baseline of what we've got. It was interesting to me coming into this job. Of the ones I mentioned, it wasn't unusual for me to come into situations where there were teams that had been frantically chasing time to market, while it's important to us, we're much more emphasis on quality. In a lot of cases, I would come into places and they've been so busy, do this, do that, do the other, that they were often deploying applications or shipping applications that were constrained more by time and cost and quality, which leads to some not really fun problems where if you don't keep your eye on the ball with quality, you're going to end up with customer issues, a lot of residual blowback. In our case, we tend to spend as much as, obviously fits within our constraints, but the main constraint, main target that we tend to live towards is making sure that we're providing optimal quality. And I know that's kind of vague in terms of an answer to your question, but what I would expect from us is just continuing kind of stick to our knitting, make sure that we're delivering products that address broader populations. Our Gizmos product is supplemental, which we were able to focus on delivering topics that are A, in demand and not necessarily a full-up curriculum, and then B, what in the process of doing that, making them valuable in the context of teachers that are fitting them into a broader curriculum. So we're looking to do is provide really gems in people's toolboxes to be able to teach. That's Gizmos. With Frax, certainly we've got plans to continue to deliver that, and we look at other things in those spaces. But generally, for us, is explore learning to provide value. The goal is to continue to make sure that what we're doing is providing high quality experiences to teachers and students, and then grow that. As far as Cambium Learning goes, that's a much bigger picture, which I'm not fully qualified to speak to in total, although a lot of the things I mentioned in terms of making sure we're making a difference are the things that we all take pride in, whether that's through literacy or homeschooling. We've got a division that tackles that and other forms of topics that are largely in the primary and secondary school space.
That's great, Mike. As we wrap this up, one last question for you would be, what kind of advice would you have for your peers and your customers as we move into the next stage of learning?
That's a good question. I would say, first off, you know, be proud and embrace and enjoy and celebrate all that you do. It's a valuable mission. I know that I work with a lot of people that have been teachers and are teachers, and they just get a kick out of seeing kids learn and grow. I know it's not always the easiest thing on earth, but it's certainly, there's this kind of rush you get off of that. So take pride in that. Also pay attention, as you know, we discussed earlier, you know, world's pretty curious and evolving and things keep changing. I think you kind of need to keep your head on a swivel and make sure that you're responding to things and not entrenched in what worked a year or two ago is going to continue to work. That's, you know, probably could be pablum, but it certainly applies here as much as anywhere. You know, people are continuing to innovate. The needs of kids have some consistency, but within that context of all those innovations, teachers only have so much time to attend to teaching the children. Make sure that we're providing the tools that makes that job easier, and I think we'll all benefit.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us today on our second episode of our Tech and Ed Tech podcast. Maybe we'll bring you back at the end of the school year and see how we did. Hopefully good, great, and better things have happened. Thanks again, Mike, and to those who are out there listening, we hope you will tune in to future podcasts.
Great. Thanks, Dan. It's been nice talking.